Father, we thank you for this series of meetings. Thank you for all that you reveal, all that you have touched, all that you have implanted and imparted into our lives. We are grateful. We give you thanks for everything that you have done. We ask, O Father, that we may take that which you have planted in our lives and continue to grow in you. This earthly life is but to grow in you. To grow in you more under all the fullness of the Godhead is bodily manifest in each one of our lives. We only want Jesus and Jesus alone. Let his fullness, Father, fill us and establish us. Always, Father. And we give you all the glory, worship, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a good clap offering. Praise God. And you may be seated. This evening, as I pray about our concluding message here, I want to give something that the Lord leads that will sort of establish what we have begun in this move and the outpouring. And it's a little formula. And you all have, and I realize that we don't have that board and all that, but it's not this formula, but it's a sample. This morning, and I had to put to those online so that they can see, I realized that they did not have a chance to see it this afternoon. This was the formula. V0 represents, it's an open vision formula. V0, this is vision. Equals to 1 over Vn squared. That's about the same inverse law proportion as the law of gravity. You remember how gravity reduces itself in proportion to how far it is from can you see from that? Yes. Alright, very good. It's good, man. And so that and that actually reverts into, let's say, it reverts into this. Of course, you all know mathematics, you just reverse over it. One side square root, one side squared, you just square root it, and the other side becomes normal, kind of thing. But that tells you that basically, to have open vision, you would have to reduce your natural vision by about twice as much. Or the opposite way is, you know how you start with your imagination, and I help you all into that this afternoon, and you need to go almost to twice beyond your imagination. And then you can tap into the dimension of the spirit. It's nice to be able to put something in the formula. I love formulas. And today and tonight is something different. I'll give you something that you can relate to the transfiguration. And let me get to the last one. Okay, this is the last one. And something that you can relate to the transfiguration. And I take something simple first. Now I'm going to tie it to all the Bible verses. Right? Don't worry, so we're just starting. And you're not learning a science class today. It is still miracle service. But as I prayed, I said, Lord, What should I share on today? How do I continue to help your people? How do I give them something that they can take back, that they know if they want to move into something more, they could apply it in their lives? And I wanted something practical. So even if it looks like we start with something theoretical, bear with me. I'll make it as simple as possible. And as always, if in the midst of it, you don't understand, put your hand up. And I try to rephrase certain things and make it simple and easier. Now, I know that all of you would know this one when I show it to you. All of you would know this one. And, right, you all know this one?
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it nearer. For those online, I forgot those online, sorry about that. Now you see that. E equals to mc squared, right? You know that formula? Mm-hmm. Very easy, simple formula. Now, you know that every formula can be reversed in different ways. In other words, this one, when you go across there, becomes at the bottom. And this one cross over, right? So, that shows this is a natural formula. Bear with me, we're going to make it and show how it relates. Every natural law is a shadow of a spiritual law. And it's a spiritual law that is first before the natural law. As you know, that things are in the spirit first before they exist in the natural. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, last verse. And the things that are in the spirit are what frame the things that are in natural. And the reason why I'm touching on this tonight is, like, for example, like for people like Deborah, she received a new spiritual job. Okay, now it has to be materialized. The question is, how do I materialize something from the spiritual to the natural so that the physical molecules actually begin to show forth? There must be a link between the spiritual and the natural. Now, based on the law E equals MC squared, we know that everything is energy. M stands for matter, C stands for mass or matter, and C stands for the speed of light. So you can imagine how much that in every mass, it contains so much multiplication. The speed of light is very, very fast. And I think 186,000 miles per second, something in the old theory. Now it's based on meters. And you square that. You know what square is? It times on itself. Not even times two. Not even times three. It times on itself. That's huge. It's exponential. And so you can imagine that in every atom there's so much energy, and in the everything is energy. But this is the other side of the formula. And I put done. I got to write it big. Okay, this is new. And which means that if you want to create mass, you would actually okay, this is still the same formula, but let me put it in a small, put this down. Let's show to those online first, because we forgot to show you earlier. Okay, you got that now? Right. Now, this is the same formula, but it looks different. I just move, right. It's for E equals to MC squared. I just move the C down here. Okay? When you go across, it just goes down. Can you see that formula? Which means that M equals to mass. And that's how mass came about. An amount of energy divided by the speed of light squared. Now, when you divide something, what happens? Let me try to make it simple. When you divide something, let's say here, there happens to be a tissue. Here is a lump. Okay? Let's say this is a solid thing. When I divide it, I chop it into small little pieces. Correct? Chop it into small little pieces. And if I put all the small little pieces together, it comes back to the same thing. That's a simple law of division. Right. Now, if M equals to E divided by C squared, M is mass. Mass represents atoms, molecules, electrons, protons, anything that they can calculate as a mass. Any sort of mass. whether it be an element, you know, and of course, you know, everything is made from atoms and molecules, they form, make the elements, and all the elements got different amount of protons and neutrons, and then they combine together, make molecules, make matter, everything they see around us, atoms and molecules, mass. Now, all this mass, imagine energy, okay? Energy, I said energy, this is energy, divided into small little portions, but so tiny because it is C squared. C squared is huge. So more than these little pieces of tissue paper. We might need as much tissue paper as like maybe as much as fill the whole planet kind of thing. Okay, just a sample. So this is just a small sample. And so energy form into tiny little packets. Can you see that? What is mass? Energy form into little packets. Pretend that the little packets are the quarks, and the quarks that form atoms and molecules and electrons. So pretend that, correct? So if I gather back all these little bits and pieces of energy, and sort of, if I could put them into a compressor and press them all back to energy, it will come back to the same energy. Can you see what's happening? What, how the law is showing for? That all mass is actually made up of small little tiny packets of energy that somehow can function on themselves. They function on their own. They exist on their own in little packets. We call them quarks, molecules, subatomic particles, whatever you want. But for the sake of us jumping, right? The scientists might not like that, but let's jump into something easy to understand. Atoms and molecules. After many process, it clump into molecules, atoms and molecules. Electrons, protons, neutrons. So they clump together. Can you see? This clump is originally energy. So that's what it means by M equals to E over C squared. Right? We got that all in our mind? You just got the formula for creating mass in the natural. Of course, we humans don't have the technology, nor the ability to do that. In fact, we are only good at smashing things down, to look and observe at the energy. We're not that good at putting it together. Although our best attempt is in a fusion bomb. When they push two pieces of deuterium, which is like a hydrogen isotope, and push it together to become helium. So, now, but we couldn't start at the energy level. We start at the molecule level, creating a bigger molecule. That's all we did. We couldn't, we have no technology to start at the basic raw energy. Instead, we start with one hydrogen atom, which is a heavy hydrogen, which means that it has a neutron on it. You know, hydrogen atom got one proton, one electron, right? And then it might have one neutron or two neutrons added to that. So the heavy one got extra neutrons. So that's why it's called heavy. Atomic weight is heavier. So we start with a hydrogen molecule, and then we fuse it together, they become helium. Helium has two protons and two electrons. So we could create from the outward, because that's how much we could handle. We couldn't handle anything smaller than that. There's no instrument, no technology that we could. Of course, all those things God easily just think and then it's done. But everything that God do is based on laws, laws of the spirit, laws of the natural, and they operate based on certain laws. Understanding that mass equals to E divided into tiny little parts, so tiny that they're C squared. There's a lot of that. Then you know that you can always create mass. If you got enough energy, and you know how to form it into which tiny little pieces, and how many tiny little pieces. It must be exact number of pieces. In exact, might not form it together. Can you see the difference? This is the natural law. Now, let me bring it one level to the spiritual side. Energy, the energy that we have, the natural energy. Remember, I was teaching us thing on the first miracle service about the energy, how it contained in the Word of God. And I was almost replacing the E with the W. And I said that hundreds of years ago, a Greek philosopher called Democritus was the first one who suggested that the smallest particle of matter, if you divide matter into small pieces, and you come to the smallest piece where you cannot cut it anymore, he called it an atom. An atom. So he suggested that. Of course, he doesn't know what an atom looks like. And it's by the time our nails bore in our modern 20th century that we analyzed the atom and found that atom contained proton, neutrons, and electron. Then later on, we discovered they contain smaller parts like subatomic particles. It's only in our modern physics that we began to divide that. But he suggested we call the smallest thing atom, although they don't know what atom looks like. Einstein came along in the 20th century and said that everything is made for energy, E equals MC squared. That's what he said. So he took us one step further, that every atom and molecule can be broken down further into its energy form. Into its energy form. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, everything is made up from the Word. So God takes it one step further, which means that if the law of physics is true, that everything is made up from energy, then the original source of the energy is God's Word. So we go further. And if we want to create energy which creates molecules, which create things and solid object, you need God's Word. That was what we taught on the first miracle service, the creative Word of God. Today, in the conclusion, I like to give you both the formula for that and the formula for transfiguration. Say, wow, formula for transfiguration is hidden inside this formula. And first is to understand how E relates to the spiritual world. So, a simple formula. Okay, done. Let me get another one. And this one is so simple, we could almost, you know, not draw it, but let's draw it anyway. Let me call it okay, I give it a word. Okay, better give it this. Equals, or it produces, equal is not a good word. It produces that. Okay, I got that. So, we have to determine this little formula. Okay, all spiritual energy produces all natural energy. Right? So the two are still. It's the spiritual energy that produces natural energy. ES represents spiritual energy. ES represents spiritual energy. And EN represents natural energy. That's the source. Because of what we believe, that God make all things natural from the spiritual. And you got more than enough scriptures. You get three scriptures. One from Romans chapter 2, chapter 1, that tells you that everything that God created in the natural world is to show His attributes. Then you get 2 Corinthians 4, the things that are invisible are made from things that, the things that are visible are made the things that are invisible. And Hebrews 11 was a 3. Same thing. That the word frames everything. So you got three scriptures that can support this formula. That all natural energy comes from spiritual energy. I know we Christians believe it in a very simple way, but when we teach, we confront the unbelief of philosophers, scientists, academics, and people who like to think in formulas. So we could say that this is a true thing, that this is what the Bible is actually saying, that all natural energy comes from spiritual energy. The thing is, what is represented in the spiritual energy? And that's the part that Revelation comes in. Now let's turn to the Bible before I get back to this. Okay, before I answer the question, what is that spiritual energy? How do we tap on the spiritual energy so that the spiritual energy can create the natural energy, and the natural energy will, as you have more and more of it, you have to have enough energy to divide it by the speed of light squared, correct? If your energy is just boom, divided by the speed of light squared, that's not enough. So can you hear how much energy it takes to have enough energy, packets of energy, to divide by the speed of light squared? That's a whole lot of energy. Now you know why sometimes you go to pray all night? Because your 5-minute prayer, burn, and then you want God to create a million molecules from your burn. You know what your prayer is? Help! The cry for help. Help! That tiny quart of energy, you're going to divide by the speed of light squared. That is not even enough to heal a dark feather's flu. So, now you know why you need spiritual energy. And now, sometimes God gives us spiritual energy. Because if God has to wait for us to come up to His level, 2,000 years not enough. Maybe 2 million. So God has to intervene and give energy. And then He has to have resources in which we know how to tap the resources to amplify the energy. Ah, now we are getting nearer. He has given you. And that's why prayer in tongues is so powerful. Remember I talked about how I pray in tongues for 48 hours and then I entered this open vision. There's a lot of energy or resources of energy which God has given. We just need to relate them all together. And I like to put it nicely, tie it out in a package, a ribbon, and give it tonight to you as a Christmas present. Right, that goes your ribbon. Where is Chichi? Right. Your ribbon vision. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And a little passage that I'm going to show forth is verse 6 to verse 8. Verse 6 to verse 8. It says, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, if you have the correct version of the Bible, you should have all this in your Bible. In some of the RSV, it's not in the Bible. They've taken it out. But it says in verse 7, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit." And then he says, "These three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood." these three agree in one. These three agree in one. What are these talking about? These are talking about the fundamental components of the spiritual energy that made up the ES. Because all energy that is revealed in our created universe comes from the Trinity. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Bible says that. These three are one. These three are uncreated. The uncreated create the created. Angels, universe, huge beings, spirit beings, we, and everything that exists are created beings. We cannot exist. You know what the law of being created is? We cannot exist without the uncreated sustaining us. The uncreated is the heartbeat of creation. Without that heartbeat, we cannot exist. We continue to draw life from God. And that's how the creation can exist. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit are the fundamental three dimensions of God that God has to sort of reveal Himself in three dimensions to create creation. It was necessary. Now, He also went into the fact on earth, which means the fundamental blocks that create all ES, that's spiritual energy, are these three. And they are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. By a process of deduction, you will know that the blood represents life. Obviously. Blood consistently throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament represent life. It says life is in the blood. It's a perfect representation of life. Now, there are three forces that we always see happening. Life, love, and light. I thought of them before. You know that these three are always related. In John chapter 1, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. So in John chapter 1, He relates life with light. The two are like synonyms in the spiritual world. When you look at the life of God, He has the light of God. When you look at the light of God, He has the life of God. They are just different facets of the same diamond, of the same substance. Different facets. Depend on which angle you're looking at. At what angle you look at the substance of God, God's life is life. At the other side is light. And they all appear at the same time. Isn't God a brilliant light? Isn't God also full of life? 1 John adds another factor. In 1 John chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, right on to the ending. 1 John says, if you walk in the light, you walk in the love. If you don't walk in love, you are in darkness and the life of God is not in you. He says that. He says if you have the life of God, you will have the love of God. The epistle of 1 John tells us that light is related to love. That light, love is related to life. In 1 John. So we have this interesting phenomenon that the love of God is the life of God, is the light of God, And they all three same substance affecting us differently. We perceive the same substance differently. We can perceive the life of God as a light, as life, as love. There are three synonyms of, for lack of a better word, using Greek, hypostasis of God. The substance of God. Jesus is God's life. Jesus is a personification of God's fullness of love. Jesus is light. And the Bible calls Jesus in Hebrew chapter 1, He is the person of God. The word person in Hebrew chapter 1, He is the hypostasis of God. The word hypostasis is translated in Hebrews 11 verse 1 as the substance of God. In a sense, you could say Jesus is a substance of God. Now, that substance of God has three virtues: light, life, and love. We got it now?
Yes, sir.
Light, life, and love. And that's important as we establish this. Now, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. We have established that blood relates to life. That one you could even do it with half your eye closed. If you want to really do it, check the word blood under the concordance and read every scripture on the word blood and see whether blood equals life. Of course. Right? So, we know that it is so. Now, water. Water has always been used in the Bible, also for the word. Remember the lever when you do the washing? It represents the word. Now, I know water has been used to represent spirit too. Oh, your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it has a strong representation in the word. And you even have the Bible explain it. Ephesians 5. He says, Jesus washed the glorious church, the bride, with the washing of water of the word. Bible established what water represents. Didn't Jesus say that you should be born of water and of blood, of life and of the word? Of course, he did talk about being born of the spirit too. But you have to choose one. And water relates to the word. To the word. Now remember, these three are still the same. They're still the same. It relates to the word. And then spirit. Whenever you have spirit, remember it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation that gives light. Now I know you will say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word has light. Yes, because these three are the same. And it depends on which angle you see. When you say that the word has light, it's like a lamp, it's saying that the word has the spirit, just as the spirit is in the word. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 6, verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life? And when God speaks, it contains His spirit. It contains His life. So yes, you will have verses where you see both. But you have to settle for one. I like to settle that spirit equals light. Spirit equals light. Because I know spirit and word are totally two different dynamics. So I don't want to put the spirit as the word. Although they are related. It was always spirit and the word and the spirit. Now, if spirit is light and water is the word, you live with light, life, what was the other one?
Love.
And this is a strange thing. Love is related to the word. Something that we don't normally see. But yet the Bible tells you, speak the truth in love. And if God is love, can God ever speak any word that doesn't contain His love? But humans can. But not God. Every word of the Lord contains His love. Contains His life, which contains His love. But here's the thing. The word part is more solid for us. More solid. Can you touch and catch light? You can only touch an object that produces light. But you can't capture a photon with your hand. But you can capture a word in your thoughts. Of course, you can hold a written word. But I want to think about word as an idea, as a logos. You can capture the word in your mind. An idea, a word of God. It's something that's a part of us that can capture. And the Bible did talk about how everything is framed by the word. Now, if Paul says the greatest is love, there is hope, faith, and love. Says the greatest is love. He's trying to point that the most solid thing you could feel is actually love. Isn't it strange? When love in this world is like a concept, a relationship, we never think of love as solid. But when you enter into the uncreated realm, love is solid. Love is solid. In the uncreated realm, God is a being. He doesn't say anything yet. Remember, the first time that the word was manifest was when God sort of, I don't want to use the word split, but God sort of brought Himself into a second dimension. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it was like God in the uncreated realm. I make sure that those online can see. In the uncreated realm. And in the uncreated, there's no existence, no creation. In the uncreated, God exists as light, life, and love. You know, everywhere you say God is, that means His being. He never existed as
the Word.
No, the Word was for our sake. I want you to see beyond the Word to see how Word is related to love. In the beginning, why? You think God has to speak to Himself all the time? Meditate. God never became or revealed two persons until He wanted to create us. So it's only when God wanted to create us, a part of Him came into the created realm. God breathed a part of Himself into the second dimension. And then pretend you cannot see the box. Pretend you can only see this part. Yeah, I didn't know there's still tissues inside. First time discovered. I thought that was all because I saw you putting the other ones. It looks empty, but it was not. Okay. And I'm definitely not a magician. Nor do I have any skills in that. So, okay, pretend you can't see the box. The box is in the uncreated realm. And it's of course not square or rectangular, and it's shapeless. So God breathed. So there's a part of Him that's in the uncreated. There's part of Him that is in the created. That is why John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning. In the beginning, the very beginning. The very fact that there is a beginning means it's in the created realm. Here. This is no beginning. How dare you call that a beginning? Because with every beginning, there is an end. Where got such thing as the beginning of the uncreated? Come on, it's an oxymoron. Something that is so ridiculous, it doesn't exist. How can the uncreated have a beginning, right? Think about that. It's the created that has a beginning. So, John was giving this mystery. There was nothing. Then, God created. Now, when God created, there has to be a beginning. The very first beginning was God brought Himself into two persons. One was the Word, the other was God. In the uncreated realm. And then John chapter 1 verse 1 says the two exist. The two exist. In the beginning was the Word. He was not looking here. He says the beginning of our existence, the beginning of all creation was the Word. This one, no beginning. It doesn't apply. Is the Word that has a beginning. And that is not just a spoken word. That is the Logos, the living Word, the fullness of Jesus, whose title is the Word. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Can you see two beings? And then from the Word, it says, all things were made by the Word. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. And it's the Word who, just put down the uncreated for a while. Since I only got two hands. The Word spread Himself into a third dimension. Still God. Into spirit. Spirit was like the size, invisible. And so the Word spread Himself out. And then the Word and the Spirit began the dynamics of creation. With the Father being the architect, putting all the energy. And the three are one. And I've told you, to understand the Trinity, you must add a new scientific word. It is not God in three persons. We still accept that. It is God in three dimensions. And by the way, you know, people were defending unto death. How dare you say, you know, God is in not in three persons. So we better say, yes, God is in three persons. But the three persons are bigger than normal persons, right? Because each person can be a multi-person. Jesus can reveal Himself in 1,000 persons, right? He can be more than one place at the same time. So the word person is a bit small in the English language to apply to God. Because in those days, when they tried to understand the Trinity, science was not that developed. Just as in the Bible, it record Jesus had a sword coming out from his mouth. They don't have laser beams. So they don't have the description to describe the coming out of the mouth of Jesus was a light like a laser beam, so sharp it could cut like a sword. But we have today's illustration. You know, the problem was not God. Problem was a human race lack of knowledge. Lack of development in knowledge. So we have little ability to describe what God was like. Why you think Jesus actually have a sword sticking out of his mouth? How is he going to talk to you with a sword sticking out of his mouth? That's not a very nice picture either. It did say, Revelations chapter 1, because they had no scientific description and the knowledge of human was not there yet. You try to describe a laser beam to someone, you know, about 2,000 years ago. What laser beam? They don't even know there's such a thing. Oh, then you talk about photons, you know, in the same vibration frequency, moving together. You say, what are photons? It's way hard to describe. But today, we know what laser beam is. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. 100%. So, the word spread himself, and it is God in three dimensions. I can guarantee you, if our modern church were to drop the word person, we all do respect because we're evangelical, we know the topic. In case people start calling you cow. Because they are actually still three persons. Yes, the God person. I call it the God person. But if you start teaching to all the Sunday school children and to all the little kids, God in three dimensions, they will never have a problem which they have today with Christianity, wondering how can God be three persons and one person. Guaranteed. If we have started there. That's why sometimes we got to wash away our old thing and teach it as it is. And then people who come who don't have this background or tradition, they understand faster. They don't have this rubbish to wash away. And that's why the new kids, you come, you teach God in three dimensions. They say, they won't have a problem with God being one person. As you know, dimension, I've shown it before. Like this year is 2016. And today is July the 15th. If I go 10 years in my past and time travel back and take myself from 2005 and let him stand there, and now it's 2006 and let him stand there, now it's 2016. And go in the future and take myself from 2026 and let him stand there. And there are three of us. I ask you, are we one person or three person? One person. But we are from three dimensions of time. You never have a problem with this Trinity business that weigh on people. So the other religions say, well, God Father, God Son, Holy Spirit, what about Mrs. God? You know? And all these other things they're thinking about. How does Father, God Son, then no wife, no mother, what about Mother God? And then we create more questions. But if God in three dimensions, yeah, it's obviously he's one person, but he exists in three dimensions. There is a dimension of the uncreated. Then there's a dimension of the created. And then there is a dimension of what I call the spreading out. The containment dimension. That contains all things. Then it's like, God has to reveal himself in a point, and then he has to reveal himself in multi-point. The multi-point is the Holy Spirit. So it takes three dimensions to create our physical dimension. Easier to understand. complex but very simple. Now, what I was trying to show was, now I come back with the uncreated. Alright, the uncreated is here. Okay. Well, this is a nice color. It just suddenly remind me of that satellite that's going around Jupiter now, because Jupiter has these colors. Right. And so in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He wanted us to know this is actually God. And they are just in different dimensions. God came into the created dimension to create. He is the Word. We know Him as our Lord Jesus Christ. Technically, our Lord Jesus Christ is the fourth dimension. God coming into one of His living creation. It's a different dimension. If you can think of dimensions, then you got no problem capturing this theology. And you all know that I got a formula for that also, right? X plus Y and all those things. Right, okay. Let's not go into that, because tonight is miracle service, not theology night. But we need this for you all to have your miracle. You know why I'm talking about this? I want to leave you something so they can create molecules. So that you know the formula for transfiguration, which is part of the outpouring. To continue. So that on your free day, you apply this formula. Free day, yes. So now you know all your free days have to do this. And keep applying this. Now, what I want to show, before the Word came, He was from that dimension. In that dimension, the Word doesn't exist yet. Doesn't exist yet. Because the existence of the Word was to come into a created dimension. So what does the Word exist at? He exists as life, and as love. Everywhere where they say God is light, God is love. And of course, God is life. All life comes from Him. There are very few Bible verses with God is. Do you realize that? But you have two verses that has, both are in 1 John. God is. You know the English word is means you could reverse it. God is light. Light is God. Of course, talking about the true light. God is love. Love, that is the true love, agape love, is God. The English word allows you, almost like a mathematical equation. So originally God's existence is being, because I've been there in the uncreated dimension. And all you have is life, and love. No words. And He's the only one who has visited there. And some of you visited through Him. Yeah, you were there through Him. Yeah, hi Jehuda, you were also there through Him. That's why there's no conversation. Words does not exist. So, hallelujah. Where's Enoch? Enoch, you love to go there. Get into New Jerusalem first. That's your seventh key, right? Enjoy yourself there. Because there's an eighth key. Okay. So, now, I have to go all to that extent to show that the fundamental existence of the Word is love. Now, Word is the substance part. And the substance part actually relates to love. He exists as love. And isn't it true that even though this life feels solid and you can touch another person, you can friendly punch another person, you can friendly massage another person, this life is solid. Some of you just ate solid food just now. Things feel solid. Things around us feel solid. At the end of this life, the only thing you take back is the substance of love you have grown to become. Think about it. And that is why if in this life you don't grow in love, you will never get into heaven, which is a place of love. Or if you grow very little in love, you don't get to go very close to God. The currency in heaven is love. That's why Paul says, you can move mountains, but you don't have love, it is nothing. You can speak in tongues, but you don't have love, you are nothing. He's not against moving mountains or tongues. Neither is he against charity, because he says, give your whole body to be burned and sell all your goods and give to the poor, and you don't have love, it is still nothing. You know, he used the word nothing, 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 nothing. Although we know, you can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. Although we know that love can energize faith that move mountains, but moving mountains alone, you know, is not a great achievement if there's no love. You can have gifts of the Spirit, and then Paul says he showed an excellent way to do it. So we realize that at the end of the day, the real substance that we accumulate, that becomes a part of our being, is pure agape love. And agape love is the substance. In the formula E equals MC squared, C remains light. C remains light. M is love. E is the life of God, which is a source of all light and all love. Ah, now we can go back to the formula. Right. Let's go back to the formula and see what I call the spiritual equivalent. Okay. Done. Let me get another one. Now we have, let's take E is equal to life of God. So the life of God equals to M is love. I don't like to write the word L. So let me use the Greek word agape for love. Okay, I use the word alpha. Alpha. Now, light, I don't mind using the word C for light, so that's still fine. C, it represents light. This is your formula. Hey, got it. To those online, let me see. Clear. Life equals to love, which is alpha, agape, A, C, squared. That means that light is still needed in whatever capacity and velocity that it has. Now, let me describe the practical application, right? So you say, wow, I got formula now, close shop, benediction, let's all go home. Benediction. What produces and what is the result of that life? Because you got to be on your side, the tangible part. Remember that there are three witnesses. These are how the three witnesses operate with one another. The water, which is love, which is the word, and which is love. But the fact that it's the word tells you that it is love spoken and applied. So it's not just love, it is formulated, structured. How do we understand love? Even we humans understand love in a very complex way. through relationships. Children to parents, husbands and wife, brothers and sisters, friend to friend. You see, our concept of love, to understand love, we got all these relationships to understand it. Because love needs to be expressed in various ways for us to formulate its understanding. And each is different, correct? Each is different. It's very different having a best friend, a best spiritual friend, from having a very good father, or mother, or children, or brothers and sisters. All are different relationships. Now, in practical application, C is produced by the Spirit. So the working of the Spirit. Can you see the working of the Spirit has to be square? And in a way it has. You got the anointing within and anointing upon. It has already been multiplied in our life. The Spirit is now working on us and within us. It is done in our lives. And with the anointing within, because before they go only part of it, the anointing upon. Now we got anointing within, anointing upon. And the Spirit is working within us. And there are many types of visions. There is a vision that you have, which is from your spirit. Remember, when your spirit man sees, that is the inner vision. And then there's a vision that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is with the anointing upon. Those are how prophets and all those we give upon, sometimes they are quickened with vision. Now, when a vision is quickened with anointing upon and anointing within, is the most clear-cut vision. Very clear-cut vision. It just captures most powerful vision. But you need to know that these visions are working primarily into you. So, the practical application of that, where C is what you see. Hey, not bad, I don't want to even write. C is what you see. Wow. I didn't prepare that, by the way. I didn't know it's going to write nicely. C is the vision part in practical application that you must see. And so I will use the word V, okay? V squared. A is the love that is inside, the working of love in you. But we know that that love has to be practicalized in the word. Now, did not our Lord Jesus say loving the word is same like loving him? John chapter 14. If you love me, love my word. So I would like to replace A in a practical way with W, the word. Right. And life. What is life? For us, in practical terms, in biological life, life exists because you're still breathing. The first place people check whether you're alive is your heartbeat. When someone is down there, unconscious, they will check. Could I still feel a pulse? Of course, there's another way to check electrical brainwave. But usually, the pulse. Because if the pulse stops for a while, the electrical brainwave also will go off after some time. What is breathing in the spirit? Because we are breathing. What is breathing in the spirit equivalent? Prayer and worship is the breathing that we are doing. Now we know life is, for us, biological life is breathing oxygen. So you breathe, you're taking oxygen and it processes. You're not conscious of all the other process. All you need is subconsciously keep taking air. Taking air. Oxygen. You need not understand the intricate things. Even Human beings have been breathing even before they discover oxygen. Right? We didn't even know what was happening. We've been breathing, not because we knew we're breathing oxygen. They said, oh, I need oxygen, now let me start breathing. No. We've been doing that even before we know what we were doing. Same like prayer and worship. So for prayer and worship, and since we already got the word W there, I would say, I just put the word P, but you know that the word P implies worship also. Okay, let me put it as prayer. Now, you have the secondary equation underneath. I show the secondary equation. Okay, can you see P equals to W V squared? Okay? P equals W V squared. The two are related. I'm trying to practicalize here. I got to apply the principles. Now, remember, W is still the mass. W is still the mass. So, if you want the molecules, and that's the part that I focus on, the molecules. I talk about transfiguration at the ending. Let me put done. And so, W is still the mass. So I would move the C the other side. P over V squared equals to W. You have this. Everybody got that? It's the same equation that just now. Well, I put P equal to W times V squared. I just move the V squared to the other side, so it goes to the bottom. Right? Because I want to have the molecules. I want to have the substance. Because a spiritual substance remains spiritual substance, it is of no benefit to your physical body. Unless it transdimensional into the physical and produce the molecules you need. Produce the muscles you need. Produce the bone stem cells you need. Produce the jawbone physically. Produce the teeth growth that you need. Produce muscles and tissues to grow new arms and new legs, whatever. Correct. So that's why we have that formula. P divided by V squared equals to W. Now you know what the word division is. That means the amount of prayer and worship chopped into little pieces of V squared, and your V squared is your visualization. To produce the molecules. Now you know. Now, why the V squared? Because the purpose of light is to see. Remember, the V squared is also the light. And that when the spirit of light comes, it shows you something. Whether a vision, an image, or a belief system, or impression, how it affects you. You will definitely see in the heart. I've just given you the formula to hold on to your healing and bring it to pass. And that is, when Deborah goes back, all she has to do is remember the day God gave her the new job. Visualize it on the day she received it. Remember, the prayer and the worship. You can pray in the understanding, pray in the spirit, pray whatever. And how much must she do? V squared. There's a lot of visualization. A lot of keep on seeing. And she keep on seeing and keep on seeing and keep on seeing and keep on visualizing, keep on visualizing. The molecules begin to form. That's all she has to do. She doesn't need to be re-prayed for. But when she does her devotional life, she will remember the day that has happened. Say, Lord, it has happened. I'm not going to hold on to that vision. I'm going to receive it and visualize it. And I keep seeing it. And the amount of energy prayer. Now, if P over V squared You know that anything divided by zero is zero, right? Any time times zero is also zero.
Yeah.
Zero prayer means zero. And whatever amount of things you do, zero visualizing still zero. You need something to produce something. Prayer and worship, continue to give it abundantly. Abundantly. As is abundant, but the V square is what people forgot. You must hold on to the vision. What vision? Not just the vision of what your jaw will look like when it's healthy, but the vision of the first time you receive it. When Oral Roberts was first healed of tuberculosis, the sickness tried to come back after a week or two. Good thing he talked to a good minister, and he was still a young boy. And he says, you know, he still, this sickness seemed to try to come back. And the minister says, Oral, remember the day God healed you. Hold on to it and see it every day and feel it every day until it becomes a part of you. He has lived a long life. He did not die of tuberculosis. So it's important, the V squared part, which is the C squared. Very important. Very important. To producing the physical manifestation. You also have the answer why God never manifests. Because if the W is a manifestation, think about the amount of prayer energy. P is also E, remember. P is the prayer energy and the worship energy. The amount of spiritual energy that must be fulfilled, divided by the vision. Now the V can come from God, God's will. What God revealed. Remember God revealed to Abraham, your children will be as the stars. So the vision can come from God. So all the energy must be directed somewhere. Without a vision, my people perish. So we need a vision. We need something from God that direct. Do you know every night Abraham look out at the stars and he's visualizing? And he must have prayed 1,000 prayers. Or he must have given thanks 1,000 times. He must have worshipped 1,000,000 times in his 20 odd years. Because all the energy was going somewhere. After one day at the age of 99, God says next year is going to happen. Some things are short, some things are fast. Now, how does God speed it up? It doesn't have to take 20 years for us. In when God pour out His Spirit. When God pour out His Spirit. Remember, Peter and the lame man in Acts chapter 3. Everything happened very fast. Because these are things we can do. Practical thing. On top of that is God's bonus. His outpouring. His visitation. His energizing. Where you're praying and praying and praying, or you're rowing your boat. And then suddenly you look, hey, I'm moving faster than I can row. Say, what happened? You look, Jesus added a sail. Oh, hallelujah! You know, now your paddling seems like nothing. Because He added a sail to you. These are the things God does as bonuses. To speed us up in a direction. Remember the V squared part. And of course, the transfiguration formula is slightly different. And let me put that different. I need to give that to you because this outpouring is a transfiguration. You go back to the C squared, which if you remember, wrong one. Where do I do the rubber? Okay. And let me go back to the life equals to love times light squared. Remember that. Actually, it could be LLLL, right? After all, I'll start with L. I could say L equals to L times L squared. Anyone? Right. So, it's all the triplet L's. But life, and you remember that? Okay, let me give it back to you. Remember this one. L equals to love times light squared. AC squared, correct? Now, you know what is transfiguration? It's the amplification of the light in you. The light of God flowing out through you. Which is a slightly different formula. And let me go to the blank page that I have. And since you want the C squared, and okay, let me touch on this. C squared equals to life over A. And done. Okay. That's the formula for the transfiguration. You want the C squared. And it's L, which is the life of God, over the love of God. Which is why in the transfiguration, it cannot be energized by your own strength. It's the life of God. And in the transfiguration, in the vision that you saw, Jesus showed you how the transfiguration took place in his life. Remember that vision? Some of you had that part of the downloads that we shared. Where Jesus took Aaron back to the transfiguration and then showed him how he did the transfiguration. According to Luke, Gospel of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, Jesus was just loving the Father. And as he gave his love to the Father, and the Father's love come back to him in that circular way, cycle. As he prayed, he was transfigured. Love is involved. Remember the A. Life divided by A. But C squared is, when you move the C squared to the other side is cube. Cube. Cube means that something is divided into two parts that can times back become the normal part. Right? A cube is whatever times it becomes that. And so like cube A times cube A equals A. That's what I mean. So it's like A chopped into two in a different way. And so what's happened for the light of God to transfigure and flow through us, it has to have an equal amount of the life of God flowing, as much as an equal amount of love flowing out. The L and the A are equal. Now let me ask you this question. How much life is God giving us? He has given us Zoe life, Suke life, and Bios life, biological life. Right? Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. But how much of that life has been transmitted into love? Maybe part of it has been used for selfish things. Selfish thoughts. Can you see that any part of the reduction of the A means the division is not equal? What it means is 100% of the life of God that comes in, 100% of it goes out as love. Wow. Some of you say, Pastor, impossible. Wait. There are moments when some of you felt that. He said, how do I know I feel that? There are moments when some of you were praying and you were touched at that realm where 100% of the life coming in and 100% of love going out. This is what you felt. You felt like, remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You felt like you could give your whole life to the rest of creation, even if your whole life reduced to nothing. Some of you might have touched that a microsecond. So you had a microsecond of transfiguration. That's why you go, and nobody saw it. In your prayer, in your worship. When you know John chapter 3 verse 16, the counterpart of it is 1 John 3:16. There is no love greater than that you will lay your life for another person. Not motivated out of any selfishness. Motivated especially out of the life of God. See, when the L and the A are equal, if the A is like half an A, doesn't work. If the L is half of L, doesn't work. Fullness of L, fullness of A, then you get a C squared. Even if I cube it, it still requires equality. The two must be exact. Which is what happened in Jesus' transfiguration. Because Jesus is a personification of love. All the time. And he just had to pray into the mode. And he was transfigured. Because all the love the Father gave him, he gave up all the love. All the life that the Father gave him, he gave up all the life. In his thought energy, in his heart energy, in his prayer energy. That's the formula for transfiguration. Nice, eh? Tonight, you have something to take home and lots of homework. Lots of homework. And I make it very practical so you know what to do. And remember, the A part is also the W, which means meditation on the Word. Meditation on the Word increases the Word and the increases the love in your life. The C part, the visualization. The L part, prayer and worship. Which, if you want to look at transfiguration in a different way, is equals to P over W. Equal amounts of prayer and worship over the Word. So when you have the prayer and worship equal to the amount of Word in your life, you literally, it's flowing right into you. It brings you to L over A, which is transfiguration. So that's the practical part. Now, all those things from 1 John, the three witnesses, and these are the three witnesses, the blood, the water, and the spirit. And these things you can apply to any part of the scripture. Give me any Bible story, and like Jesus' transfiguration in Luke 9, and can show that he's in prayer. How does he do it? Because 1 John says we love him because he first loved us. So when the love of the Father flows 100%, his love is his life, and 100% flows out, because transfiguration required the love to go back to God, and 100% of love. And you express your love through worship also. And love goes back to God. When the two are equal, transfiguration takes place. So, application of 1 John. So, tonight you take something away of what the transfiguration can be maintained, increase in your life, and also of how to create new molecules physically in your life for creating miracles in the Lord. So let's go to God in prayer and in worship. These are like those who represent the four living creatures. And I think we got all of the first generation. And to stand in that same particular place. And I said, we're all going to come to the front here, gather around here. And those representing the four living creatures. To the north, the south, east, and the west. to stand at the edges of where everybody's going to be gathered around here. And then those in the second generation, also to stand in those positions, but just outside the crowd. And the difference is not facing the north or whichever. Everyone stand in the position, face inwards, and everybody else remain in a circle or canopy created by them. And pray that those online, you'll be blessed too. I push you in a position where you can see what's happening. And so can we get into that formation and release the presence of God as a canopy over everyone. All of you, come into the center here. Not facing that side. Yes. All in position. You are in the south, right? South has to be the corner. Make sure that they form a boundary, right? You have to keep like skills. Right. Jewel has to be the south. Stand together with that. Eagle, Lion is in the east, Lion is that side. Eddie is not here. Okay. You can stand on behalf of Eddie, both of you. You must not be in the middle, you must be at the edge. And everybody is inside you, inside this canopy. So they must be the edge. Yeah, they must be at the edge. And can everybody just get in the center? Yes, in the center. So get it together in center. And just everybody. Yes, just get in the center. And those are in the edge. Okay, face towards them. Then now, okay, we are praying towards. Now make sure all are in the edge there. Okay, I stand with Ariel here. And we're going to pray for all of you. And we're going to worship. And then after we worship, one more song, we just release prayer in the spirit of worship in the spirit. Lead us in that. Thank you. Surround you, and you will constantly hear around and before you. Holy, holy, holy. For the Lord God Almighty is holy. And that holiness of the Lord surrounds you, seals you, and nurture you into the fullness of all that God has planned in your life. Lord's blessings. The Lord's face shine upon you. and it's permanently established upon you. His light will shine upon your life as your heart and your mind opens before him. And this blessing the Lord gives to you. And you will go forth with the glory of the Lord going before you. And with his glory as your rear guard. And with his pillar of cloud and fire on your left and on your right.
Yes.
So the Lord is above you as beneath you.
Amen.
And the glory of the Lord arise upon your life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless each one of you. Let you receive his